to be in the house of the Lord. I trust you are. All right? We are worshiping the one true living God. And thank God we have this Savior who indwells us. And let us always remember that when we come into the house of the Lord to worship Him, apart from worshiping Him, we have the other purpose, and that is to witness corporately that we have a living Savior. Did you realize that we are here for that purpose? To tell the world that we have got a living Savior. Jesus is alive. So remember when you come to the house of the Lord, that you are here to worship Him, and you are here also to tell the world that we have this living Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the topic this morning is a joyful farewell, taken from Luke 24, verses 50 to 23. Now, farewells are usually very sad and tearful. I think you agree with that. A dying person on his deathbed bidding farewell to his loved ones, I think, is a very tearful event. And also a child, let's say, a young person going overseas to study, bidding farewell to his parents, could also be a very, very sad and tearful event. But is there such a thing as a joyful farewell or joyful parting? Is there such a thing? I think there is. Now, for example, you could have a very nasty boss in the office. He treats his employees in a very unfair manner, and then he's going to leave the company. The company has sacked him. So what do you do, my dear friends, if you have been treated very badly by this boss? I guess his parting brings great joy to the company. You'll be celebrating, I believe. Or when a country is occupied by its enemies, and then these enemies are defeated, and the enemies have to beat a retreat, I think there will be great celebration when these enemies depart. Now this morning, we want to look at a farewell which was a very, very joyous one. But it certainly was not for the purpose to celebrate good riddance to bad rubbish. It was not for that. It was joyful because those saying farewell to the person who was leaving were reminded of the great blessings that they had been receiving from him. And they were also reminded of the fact that more blessings, much, much more blessings are going to continue to come from him. Now those bidding farewell to this person were of course none other than the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the person that they were bidding farewell to was of course Jesus. Now surely there must have been some sadness in the hearts of the disciples, and it could have been a tearful event. But all the sadness and the tears would have been overwhelmed by the joy that they received at that particular event when the Lord Jesus Christ was taken up from them back to heaven. Now, let's read a few verses concerning this farewell and look at the joy that the disciples had, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ had. Luke chapter 24, verses 52 and 53. And they refers to the disciples. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Not only the day there refers not only to the disciples, but other followers of the Lord Jesus. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Did you read those words? And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Yes, they were very, very joyful in regards to what happened at that farewell. Now, the question is, why were they so joyful? Why were they so joyful? Three reasons. Now, first of all, the parting was a reminder of what the Lord Jesus Christ had been blessing them with over the 3 years that he was with them. Yes, they were reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ said, what he did, and what he said he would continue to do. So that was the first reason as to why they were so joyful. Now the second reason as to why they were so joyful was that they knew where the Lord was going and what he was going to do at the place where he was going. And number three, they saw clearly all things concerning this Savior. So three things this morning I want to talk about, which gave the disciples great joy. Verse 50 and 51. Verse 50 and verse 51. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now you picture the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the Mount of Olives with his hands lifted up. What was he doing, my dear friends? He was, of course, blessing all those who were present, his disciples and his followers. Now, that gesture of the Lord Jesus Christ was something I'm very, very sure that was very, very familiar to the disciples. When the Lord Jesus Christ ministered on this earth, I'm sure there were many times when he lifted up his hands to bless the people whom he ministered to. Now, the Lord's raising up his hands to bless the people present that day was surely a reminder to the people of what the Lord said, what he did, and what he was going to do. And that gave the disciples great joy when they think of what the Lord said, what he did, and what he said he was going to do. Now, they were joyfully reminded that his ministry was one of blessings upon blessings. They must have been reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ said and did over the 3 years that he was with them. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ came not to curse, but to bless. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to heal the sick, the blind, the lame, the blind, the deaf, and on occasions, he raised people from the dead. And he came to offer his life as a he came to offer himself as the living bread, yes, to give life to those who are dead in sin. And he came as the light of the world to deliver people from darkness into his marvelous light. And he came to live a perfectly sinless life, something which we are not able to do, in obedience to the laws of God, to earn us righteousness. He lived that perfectly sinless life in order that he might be able to present himself as the perfect sacrifice to God to save us. He came not to judge, but he came to be our friend. Now the disciples surely must have been reminded of all these things which the Lord Jesus Christ said and all that he did. John 12:47. The Lord says this: And if any man hear my voice and believe not, I judge him not. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, he said, I came not to judge the world. But of course, someday he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will judge. But the first time he came not for the purpose of judging. One day he told his disciples this, in John 15:15, I'd like us to look at these words. John 15:15. Now let's read this verse together. John 15:15. Together. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. I call you friends. I came not to judge. I come to befriend you. I call you friends. Now, there is a big difference between a servant and a friend. Now, in Singapore, I see lots of servants working in homes. They don't eat at the master's table. And they would possibly eat in the kitchen or in a little maid's room. And they are hardly noticed. Now, I would be utterly shocked if I ever see a maid eating at the master's table with the family members of the master. But friends, that's exactly what we are doing. We are seated or sitting at the master's table. Our Lord treats us as his friend. We fellowship with him and he fellowships with us. In Psalm 23, verse 5, we read this very familiar verse. Yes, the Lord says, the word of God says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, does not that tell us that he holds us at his table? Yes, he is the host who prepares a table of blessings for us. He prepares this wonderful spread for us, the spread of his graces, which of course would consist of things like his mercy, his love, his peace, his joy, and he also gives us faith. Yes, and he also anoints us with the oil of gladness. The word of God says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Yes, he anoints us with the oil of gladness. In ancient time, it was a custom for the host in that part of the world to anoint his guests with oil, with sweet perfume. Now, it was an act of welcome, a gesture of giving honor to the guest that the host has invited. Yes. And then besides that, my dear friends, he pours his oil of blessings upon us. And these blessings that he pours down upon us are so abundant that they overflow. The psalmist says, my cup runneth over. So he pours his oil of blessings upon us, and this oil of blessings is so abundant it overflows. How honored we are. How honored the disciples must have felt to have been called the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you is, are you his friend? Are you his friend? Is Jesus your friend? Now, if Jesus is not your friend, you know, he is your what? Your enemy, of course. If he's not your friend, he is your enemy. Now, the Lord also had said these words to his disciples. Alright, look at John 15, verse 15. The second part. Yes. The Lord says, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. All things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. The Lord treated them as such close friends that he said, all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Now, of course, it is unreasonable to think that the Lord will share all his divine secrets that he communicated between him and his heavenly Father to the disciples. It would be impossible for the disciples to understand those great mysteries and great communications between the Lord Jesus Christ and his heavenly Father. But he surely did share all the heavenly secrets with his disciples, those secrets that his disciples needed to know. And now the most wonderful thing is that this communication between us and the Lord Jesus Christ is a two-way traffic. The Lord shares his secrets with us. And we, as the friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, share our secrets with him. A servant typically doesn't do that. I can't imagine a servant in Singapore sharing her secrets with her mistress. Possible, but that kind of thing will be very, very exceptional. But friends, we know that a person will share his secrets with a friend who can be trusted. Yes, and that's what we are able to do in regards to our sharing our secrets with our Master, because he can be trusted. We can carry all our burdens to him. We can carry all our cares to him. We can share with him our deepest secrets with him. As the disciples thought of their Lord as being their trusted and faithful friend, they must have been very, very joyful when they realized that their friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ was not going to stop. You see, they were standing, remember, on the Mount of Olives, and they saw the Lord ascending up to heaven. But they were very, very thankful, joyful that their friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord's friendship with them was not going to terminate there. No, that friendship was going to continue, because the Lord Jesus Christ said to them this, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So this friendship was going to continue. My dear friends, let's rejoice, because we have a wonderful friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this friendship that we have with him is going to continue. And how can we not rejoice and be comforted to realize that this friendship continues, and he is such a faithful and wonderful friend. Yes, how can we not rejoice when we think of this wonderful truth expressed by this hymn writer, who says this: what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Thank God we have such a wonderful, wonderful friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples were also joyfully reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ came and demonstrated God's infinite love for them by dying for them on the cross of Calvary. The disciple whom the Lord Jesus Christ loved, the Apostle John, said this as he recalled the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. I'd like us to look at these two verses. Alright, John's recalling the love of our Savior. He came to demonstrate the love of the one true living God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Keep your finger at Luke 24, because we'll be coming back to those two verses. John 4, 9 and 10. 1 John 4, 9. Verse John 4, 9 and 10. I read for you. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. John, when he wrote those words, must have realized how little his love was compared to the kind of love that the Lord Jesus Christ had for him and for his fellow disciples. Yes, their love for him was so little, but his love for them was so great, so sacrificial. Remember, on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, What did all the disciples do as far as their company with the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned? All of them deserted Him. How little their love, their kind of love they had for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, I'm sure, standing there looking at the Lord Jesus Christ with his hands raised, blessing them, he must have realized how little my love for the Lord is. Yes, I denied Him 3 times. Yet He loved me so much that after He rose up from the dead, He forgave me and He restored me into the position of being His apostle. And so now, as the Lord stood on the Mount of Olives and raised His hands to bless the disciples, they must surely all have been reminded of the blessings that the Lord had bestowed upon them while He walked with them for those 3 years. And as He came to earth to bless, now He was departing the earth, leaving blessings behind. Now the blessings were not only for the disciples. The blessings are for us also. The blessings that He pronounced, or that He indicated that He would be blessing us with His raised hands, my dear friends, are blessings for us also. The message is clear, my dear friends. The Lord never stops blessing those who belong to Him. Do you believe that, friends? He never stops blessing us. And that's the truth. Today He continues to bless us. He blesses us with comfort and with strength. How? How does He bless us with comfort and with strength? My dear friends, He sends His Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us, to bless us with comfort and with strength. So there was this occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, and He said this a few days before He was arrested. John 14, 16. I'd like us to look at this verse. John 14, 16. John 14, 16. Keep your finger at Luke 24, but John 14, 16. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ said this to His disciples. He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Friends, the Lord knows that we are in need of this Comforter. And so He sent this Comforter to dwell in us. He is the Comforter, the one who walks alongside us, the one who strengthens us. That's what it means. He walks alongside us and he strengthens us. A missionary to Africa was trying to explain to a group of natives the meaning of or the role of the Holy Spirit as the comforter. Yes, but she was finding it very, very difficult to explain to them. And she said this: the Holy Spirit encourages, exhorts, admonishes, protects, comforts, and guides the Christian. Now, the natives heard, and they heard, and then finally they understood. And they said this: oh, if anyone would do all that for us, we would say, he is one who falls beside us. He is one who falls beside us. In Africa, in those days, there were people who were working as porters, and so they would carry their heavy load on their head. And but as they walk along carrying this heavy load, sometimes they can become very tired, or they might fall ill, and they would just fall down onto the ground. And if nobody rescues them, then they could well be eaten up by wild animals. But if some kind soul comes along and rescues a person who is in that plight, that person will be referred to as the one who falls down beside us. My dear friends, how apt a description of the Holy Spirit this is. We surely need this comforter. We need this one who falls down beside us. We need him to indwell us. Understand this truth, my dear friends. If you do not have the Holy Spirit in you, you are none of his. You don't belong to him. You do not have salvation if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you. We need him to dwell in us, to strengthen us, and to comfort us. We need him to produce the fruit of the Spirit in us: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We need him to produce that fruit in us. And today the Lord blesses us. The Lord Jesus Christ blesses us with this assurance. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, how does the Lord make good this assurance? How does the Lord Jesus Christ make good this promise? How? He makes good this promise, my dear friends, by being present with us and in us in the person of his Holy Spirit. Yes, and today, through his Holy Spirit, he speaks to us out of his word of life. And his word comforts us, his word strengthens us, and his word assures us. Through his word, through his Holy Spirit, the Lord says this to us: let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then do we not need peace of heart? Surely we do. And through God's mighty Holy Spirit and through his word, the Lord says to us in John 14:27, if you would like, please turn to that verse, John 14:27. Very beautiful words. That's why it's good for us to read these beautiful words. Alright, together, let's go. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, this peace is the same kind of peace that the great apostle Paul talks about in Philippians 4:7. In Philippians 4:7, Paul talks about the peace that what? The peace that passes all understanding. Now, this is the very peace that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about here. Yes, I dare say that this is the most priceless blessing we need. We need very, very much from the Lord. Peace. Yes, the peace that passes all understanding. In times of disappointment, in times of discouragement, in times of perplexity, in times of confusion, in times of fear, how much we need this peace that passes all understanding. And the most wonderful thing is, this blessing is available to us. The Lord says to us, peace I give unto you. It's available to us. It is ours for the asking. It is ours for the taking. Yes, let's open our hearts, stretch out our hands to receive this peace that is so readily available to us. And today, do we want the blessing of doing a greater work for the Lord Jesus Christ than what the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was on this earth in the way of soul saving. Yes, we can do a greater work. And that's what is promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say those words. He says this in John chapter 14. If you look at John 14 and verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. I read for you this verse. John 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Greater works than the works that I've done shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. Because I'm going to go to my Father, you are going to do greater works. Let us, my dear friends, believe that by his mighty Holy Spirit, which the Lord has sent forth to indwell us, and by his resurrection power, we are able to do greater work than the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did in the way of saving souls. Now, the early disciples very, very quickly found that to be true. Did you realize that? Yes, after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, they prayed over a 10-day period, and then bang, on the day of Pentecost, what happened, friends? 3,000 souls were saved. Surely this was greater work performed by the disciples than the work that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. My dear friends, today, the truth is the gospel has reached the four corners of the world. Yes, thus demonstrating that this greater work has been done or is being done. And this blessing of doing the greater work in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is available to us. Now, if we earnestly want to have it, it will be ours. If we today say, Lord, we want to do this greater work of sharing the gospel with others. We want to win souls for you. Will the Lord withhold this blessing from us? No, my dear friends, he will not. Because he has said so already. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do. Let us believe this promise given by the Lord. Friends, let the Lord's lifting up of his hands on the Mount of Olives remind us of the blessings that he is ever ready to bestow upon us. Next, the disciples were joyous because they saw where the Lord was going. That's my second point. All right, verse 51. And Luke 24:51. And it came to pass, while Jesus blessed them, you see, he blessed them. First, he lifted up his hands to bless them. And then 51, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, the disciples would have surely recalled the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord was carried up into heaven. They would surely have remembered what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them a few weeks earlier. The Lord had said this to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The disciples surely would have remembered these words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ as they saw him being taken up into heaven. Now here at the Mount of Olives, yes, they saw him being taken up. How much joy they must have felt, yes, to see the Lord Jesus Christ being carried up into heaven. Now, the Lord had gone to prepare a place for them. That's why they were so joyous. Now, in the secular world, we sometimes may have a situation in which a very, very good boss, yes, is being transferred overseas. And he's going overseas to set up a new operation. And he has been very good to you people. And then as he leaves, he tells you this. I'm going to go to this place to set up this new operation. And I'm going to set up new positions for you. And when the positions have been set up, come and join me. Yes, your going over will be good for you because there are great promotional opportunities for you. The ambitious will be very, very happy with and joyous with that kind of prospect. But friends, here we have something here that gives us much, much more joy than a promotional opportunity overseas. He has gone to take possession of our glorious inheritance that He has prepared for us on our behalf. Now the glory of this inheritance, my dear friends, is way, 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 way beyond our ability to imagine and to visualize. Now you remember the Queen of Sheba. She heard of the glory of Solomon's kingdom. And then she visited Solomon's kingdom. And when she came to Jerusalem and saw the great glory of Solomon's kingdom, she said this, "The half has not been told me." In other words, what she was saying is this, what I had visualized is not even half what I'm seeing today. What I'm seeing today is twice or even more than twice what I had visualized. Now, my dear friends, this glory that we are talking about, if we are able to visualize this glory of our inheritance, if we are able to visualize this glory, do you think that is the glory that we are going to have in regards to the inheritance that we are going to have? You think that would be the glory? No, my dear friends. We will not be able to imagine how great that glory is. Yes, more so than it was not possible for the Queen of Sheba to imagine the glory of Solomon's kingdom. Yes, it will be impossible for us to imagine that glory. It will be far, 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 far greater than what we are able to visualize. There was a time when the great Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He entered into heaven itself, and he heard things that were unspeakable in heaven. In other words, the things that he heard of were just beyond human words to describe. So wonderful, so glorious, impossible for him to describe. That was the kind of glory that he heard when he went to heaven. That glorious inheritance that we are going to have, my dear friends, awaits us. And the Lord Jesus Christ has gone ahead to prepare and has gone there to claim that inheritance for us. So that when we get there, for sure we will get this glorious inheritance. Now the disciples were joyous because they knew that this Savior of theirs, their Master, was ascending up to heaven and that He was going to be seated triumphantly at God's right hand. And there He will be interceding for them to ensure that they were kept in the most holy faith. My dear friends, how are we believers kept in the most holy faith? How? Of course, we persevere in the faith. Now, we persevere in the faith not because we are able to persevere in the faith. We persevere in the faith because God keeps us persevering. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His praying for us, keeps us in the most holy faith. And so we read this truth in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I'd like us to look at this very familiar verse. Hebrews 7, 25. But keep your finger at Luke 24. Hebrews 7, 25. Hebrews 7:25. I read for you. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth, He lives forever to make intercession for them. My dear friends, how are we saved to the uttermost? Not by our holding on to Him, but by His intercession for us. This thought of being kept safe, kept securely in the most holy faith by the Lord Jesus Christ must have given the disciples great joy in their hearts, great assurances in their heart. Now, does not this great thought give us great joy also, that we can never ever lose our salvation? We can never ever fall from grace. Why? Because the Lord is praying for us, so that we are surely kept in the most holy faith. What a wonderful thought. Doesn't that thought give us great joy? It must give us great joy, friends. Now, another thought that gave the disciples great joy must be the truth. That must be the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ was not going to remain in heaven and that He was not going to come out of heaven again. No, He is going to come out of heaven again. And this time he will come forth from heaven to earth to restore this sin-infested world to the state of paradise. Yes, they would have remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember, the Lord says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again to receive you unto myself. So they must have remembered those wonderful words. Yes, this Savior of ours will come again. And the disciples, when they were standing there with their eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ as he ascended up to heaven, were very, very jolted, as it were, yes, by the two heavenly beings into remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, if they had forgotten what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them. In Acts 1:11, these two heavenly beings said this to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." This great hope, great and blessed hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ again, must surely have given great, 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 great joy to the disciples. Now, doesn't this hope of seeing him again give you great joy in your heart? Doesn't it? Doesn't this great joy of seeing him again give you hope and give you the purpose for living? Doesn't it? My dear friends, this the hope of his coming surely must give us great joy. Now, indeed, if we do not have the hope of the resurrection, if we do not have the hope of being caught up to be with the Lord in the air, my dear friends, we would be of all men, as the great apostle says, what? Of all men, most miserable. No hope. Yes? So what's the point of coming to church? What's the point of professing ourselves to be believers? No point coming. We are wasting our time here. We might as well live as people in the as people in the world do. Eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we die. And then after that we turn into dust. We might as well adopt that kind of philosophy. But friends, the truth is, we have this great and wonderful hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face one day and be like him. Yes, that hope must give us great joy. Finally, the disciples were filled with great joy because they saw clearly all the things about their master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw that he had to be, why he had to become man, and why he had to suffer. Yes, they realized that he had to suffer first before he could be the exalted Messiah. The disciples, to say the least, were a bunch of very dull people spiritually. Yes, they were. Yes, many times, you know, when we read the gospel, we say, how could the disciples be so spiritually dumb? So clear, they still don't understand. And the truth is, they really didn't understand. And their kind of thinking was very much reflected by the thinking of the two disciples who were walking to the village of Emmaus after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the first Sunday that the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, he appeared to these two disciples who were walking to the village of Emmaus. They couldn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't know that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And so the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them. And let's look at the conversation that the Lord Jesus Christ had with these two disciples. Please turn with me to Luke 24, yes, and look at verse 17. The same chapter, but 17. Verse 17. I read for you. And Jesus said unto them, he said unto these two disciples, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as ye walk and are sad?" And the one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And Jesus said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him, But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You see, they were so spiritually dull. They didn't understand the role of the Messiah. They thought that their Messiah or the Lord Jesus Christ was just a man, a prophet. And they thought of him as a military Messiah who would come to deliver them from the rule of the Romans. That was all they thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I dare say that that thinking was very reflective of the thinking of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. But now, at the Mount of Olives, they saw the whole truth. They saw all things concerning the Savior. The Savior came. He is the one true living God. He came and he died for them. He rose up from the dead for them. And now he is rising up to heaven. Yes, they saw the whole truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were filled with great joy. My dear friends, we too must know this truth. If we want to have real joy in our heart, we must know this truth and believe this truth, not only in the head, but we must truly believe in the heart that the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Son of God came, died for us, and that he rose up, was buried, and he rose up on the third day for us. And today he is seated at the right hand of God. We must also believe this truth in order that we may have the same kind of joy that the disciples had. Now, what happened to the disciples after that? Having this great joy in their heart when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ ascending up to heaven. Did they keep this joy to themselves? No, they did not. You look at chapter 24 and verses 52 and 53 again. They were really filled with joy. Look at verse 52. And they worshipped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. And verse 53. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So what did they do, my dear friends? They did not keep back the joy. They shared that joy. Yes, and they shared that joy very, very expressly, publicly in the city of Jerusalem. We must do likewise, friends. If we really say that we are joyous, and we really say that we have the joy of the knowledge of the gospel in us, then we must be sharing that joy. Now, if we are not sharing the gospel in us, something must be seriously wrong with us. What it could very well mean is that we have not understood the significance of the gospel. Yes, maybe we do not really believe in the gospel. That is why we do not have that kind of joy. Now, if we have that joy, then we must necessarily share that joy. Now, great opportunity coming up. 30 in April, and great opportunity for us to share the joy of the gospel with others. Now, the Lord's farewelling his disciples on the Mount of Olives was a joyous one. There he lifted up his hands and blessed the disciples and his other followers. And the disciples returned to the city of Jerusalem with great joy. Now, they were filled with great joy. Why? Because they were reminded of the blessings that the Lord bestowed upon them during the 3 years that he was with them. They were reminded that he came to bless and not to curse. Yes, they were reminded that he came not to judge, but to befriend them. Yes, they were reminded that he came and took on human flesh to die for them. And they were reminded that he came and took on human flesh and lived a perfectly sinless life so that he could present himself as the perfect sacrifice to God so that he could save them. And then, as they look at the Savior ascending up to heaven, they were also reminded of the great and mighty blessings that the Lord had in store for them. They were reminded that the Lord never, ever stopped blessing. Now, my dear friends, picture the Lord standing on the Mount of Blessing, blessing the disciples. And let's remember this, friends. These blessings were not only for the disciples. These blessings are also for us. He blessed the disciples, so he is blessing us today. Let this truth, my dear friends, sink into our hearts. Now, if we do not have his blessings, it is not because he has not given them to us. These blessings are readily available to us. If we do not have these blessings, it is because we choose not to want to have them. Friends, He offers us peace, joy, hope, and He offers us His the gift of faith, and He offers us blessings of doing a greater work for Him. Now, do we not want these blessings? If we want to have these blessings, they are ours for the asking, they are ours for the receiving. Now, the disciples were filled with joy because they saw where the Lord Jesus Christ went. They knew that He had gone to prepare a place for them. They knew that He had gone there to claim the glorious inheritance on their behalf. They knew that He was going there to sit at God's right hand to intercede for us. Yes, and for them. They knew that. My dear friends, because of that, they were filled with joy. And likewise, we will be filled with joy if we know today where the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to and what He is doing for us today. My dear friends, like them, we will be filled with joy. And finally, they were filled with joy because they understood very, very clearly why the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, had to be the suffering Messiah. He had to be the suffering Messiah before He could be the triumphant Messiah. My friends, like the disciples, we would have great joy in our heart if we really understand and believe the true gospel. The gospel that He came to die for us, was buried for us, and that He rose up on the third day for us. And if we truly, truly believe this gospel, we must necessarily be filled with joy. And if we really have this joy, we cannot keep this joy to ourselves. We must share it. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank You, O Lord God, for the blessings that You have bestowed upon us. From Your word, You have shown clearly how much You have blessed us and how much You will continue to bless us. And today we thank You for this wonderful blessing that You have given to us, in that You are today, the Lord Jesus Christ today is seated at Your right hand, praying for us so that we might be kept in the most holy faith. And we thank You, O Lord God, for giving us the joy of the gospel. And we thank You for giving us this blessed hope that one day we will be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Father, we pray that every day as we live our lives, we may always remember this truth, that You never stop blessing us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You, O Lord God, for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, whom You have sent to indwell us. And we thank You that with Him in us, we are strengthened and we may be very much comforted. And with Him in our heart, we may be able to do the greater work that You have promised that we will be able to do. Lord, thank You for all these rich blessings that You have bestowed upon us. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.